"You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think, Scripture says without reason, that the spirit he causes to live in us tends towards envy, but he gives us more grace? That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins.
Here's a question for you. You up for this? Okay. What's God's least favourite sin? What sin does God hate the most? Oof. Now, those of you that are theologically astute will say, that's a trick question, because you cannot grade sins. You can't grade sins. Paul in Romans talks about the way in which if you have committed one sin, it's like as if you've committed them all. One sin is enough. You know, it's like... If it's you buy a bottle of water and it says 99% pure, would you still drink it? If it's got 1% impurities in it, I'm thinking, maybe not, you know? So you can't grade sin. Sin is sin. And if you've committed one sin, it's like you've committed them all. So maybe it is misleading for me to say, which sin does God hate the most? And yet, Proverbs 16, verse 5, gives you a list. Proverbs 16, verse 5, goes like this. Six things that the Lord hates, seven that he detests. And then it lists you, God's top seven hated sins. Do you know what number one is on that list? Pride. Haughtiness comes as number one on the list. Pride. Are you a proud person? Are you proud of your country? Are you proud of this church? Are you proud of your own achievements, of where you've come from and what you've managed to do with your life? Are you proud of your family? Are you prideful? And yet God says that he hates pride. He hates arrogance. He hates boasting. Did you hear that in that passage from James that Jill read to us? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What is so wrong then about pride? What is it that God detests about pride? Quickly this morning, three things that God finds detestable or hateful about pride. The first is that it takes the glory from God himself. Because if all the time we're thinking, how great I am, look at what I've done, look at what I've managed to do, look at all the time and effort that I've put into this that's managed to do all of this, it takes glory from God and puts it onto ourselves. You know that verse in the Sermon on the Mount, we sometimes put, I find it in scriptures, we put punctuation where there shouldn't be punctuation. We put full stop sometimes where the verse doesn't actually end. You know what I mean? So it's that verse that says, let your light shine. We're good at that, aren't we? Let your light shine. Except the verse doesn't end there. Let your light shine before all people, men and women. Let your light shine before all people that they can see your good works. Hey, that sounds good, doesn't it? Because people can see the good things that I've done and say, hey, that David Milner, look at what he's doing. Isn't he a great guy? Isn't he a really wonderful fellow? Look at all the good things that he does with his life and the way, look at that. Except I've put the punctuation in the wrong place, of course, haven't I? Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. It's not about what I'm able to achieve, what I'm able to do, how generous I am, how kind, what a good person I am. Because the glory is going in the wrong direction. And instead of it going to the Father, it comes to me. And pride does that. Pride stops the flow of the glory going in the right direction. And instead of giving glory to God, we give glory to ourselves. So again, I come back to the question, are we proud of this church? Of what's been achieved by this church over the last years, over the last 20, 30 years? Are we proud of how big this church is and what a wonderful heritage of youth work it's got? Are we proud of all the things that we've done as a church? I have to say that I fall into that temptation. Sometimes when ministers get together, they'll talk about their church. Well, where do you come from? Which church do you belong to? And I'm proud to say, I'm the minister at Penrith Methodist Church. And people say, oh yes, I've heard what wonderful things are happening there. Or before lockdown, I'll go down to London because I'm invited to be part of the larger church leaders. I've got to be careful how I say that. In Methodism. Because we rank about, well, we're certainly the largest church, Methodist church in Cumbria, and one of the top six in the country. And we look at what we're able to do as a large church and where we're heading and all the things that have been done. And I can sit with other Methodist ministers and say, yes. And I can get proud. But it's not about me and it's not about all the people, the hard work that the church has done, because at the end the glory goes to us, and not to God. So number one, don't be proud, because pride stops the glory and the flow of the glory. And then secondly, don't be proud because it hinders growth. It hinders growth. It stops growth. Do you remember your school reports? I remember writing them as well, you know, as a teacher. And I hope that what I wrote was encouragement. I hope that it was encouraging. But some of the school reports that I used to get were studded with phrases like, could do better. Room for improvement. I used to get discouraged by that, but I can see that actually, from the other point of view, from the teacher's point of view, that it was supposed to be encouraging. It was supposed to say, look, here are some weaknesses, David. Here are some weaknesses that you need to work on. Be encouraged to work on these areas of weakness. It would have been nice as well to have some good things in there as well, you know. But you see, if you're proud, you think, I've made it. There's no room for improvement. We're already there. I'm as good as it gets, aren't I? That's pride. But if pride gets in the way, it gets in the way and hinders growth because it says, we're already there. There's nothing that we could do better, is there? We're already doing it to the utmost. And of course, if we're truthful, there's always room for improvement. I was talking, again, when I was talking about growth, I was talking about the work of a guy called Christian Schwartz and the Natural Church Development Movement. And he works with this principle that churches will grow naturally when they've got eight particular planks in place, a bit like a barrel. It's only going to be able to be filled to the one that's the lowest of those staves. So you work on that lowest point and build that one up so that you can then be filled even more. So what's our weakness as a church? What is it that we need to work on? Where are we falling short? But pride in a church says, well, of course we're perfect as a church. Can't understand why everybody doesn't come to a church like this. We're there already. And it's the same as a human being as well. All the time I'm saying, well, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm all right. Actually, we are like God in this, that we do not like pride either. We are very... We poke fun at prideful people, don't we? People like Hyacinth Bouquet, you know? Or Captain Mannering, who are full of their own self-importance. And we like it when they're brought down a peg or two and we can laugh at them. But we see sometimes that if we think that we have made it, pride goes before a fall, it says in the book of Proverbs 2. And if you think you're standing firm, says Paul, be careful you don't fall. We need to be aware that we are not better than anybody else. And sometimes that's a criticism that is aimed at Christians, isn't it? That non-Christians look at us and say, hey, they think they're better than us. And they're not. They're no better than the rest of us. And it's not true. It is true that we're no better than the rest. But we know it. The fact is that we come to church because we know that we are sinners in need of grace. So, don't be full of pride. Pride diverts the glory, and pride hinders growth. And lastly, it makes us unusable. God can't use prideful people. We are unusable to him. It's as we admit our weakness that we become strong. In our weakness, as we admit that we are not perfect, that God is able to use us and work in us and through us. Isn't that the way it works? But all the time that we think, hey, I'm somebody, it stops us from being any use. So there are jobs that need doing, but we think, oh, that's beneath me. Let somebody else do that. Remember when I started this service? Philippians 2? Jesus becomes our role model. He rolled his sleeves up to become our role model, got his hands dirty. He became part of creation and took on the form of a servant to serve. Not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. But pride stops us doing that. Pride says, that's below my dignity. I'm not getting my hands dirty. Let somebody else do the mucky stuff. Or I'll pay for somebody to do the stuff that I don't want to do, rather than doing it myself. So pride makes us unusable by God too. We need to put pride to one side, to put pride down. Be careful, because the opposite of pride is not shame. Hear this very carefully. By saying don't be proud, I am not saying therefore be ashamed. That's not the same. Are you with me? It's not the same thing. The opposite of pride is humility. Having that right attitude of yourself. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Did you get that one? I don't take the glory for that one, that's C.S. Lewis's, okay? Humility is not thinking less of yourself, doing yourself down, but thinking of yourself a bit less. Thinking of other people first. And we need that right attitude, that humility, that grace, that graciousness that says, let me serve you. Brother, sister, here I am. Let me serve you. So replace pride with humility. Are we proud of our nation? Well, I think as nations need to develop humility as well. Not to be ashamed of our past, but to have a humility. And I wish other countries, maybe across the country, across the other side of the Atlantic, might also learn true humility. I wonder then. I wonder if we are proud. Pride stops growth. Proud people divert the glory to ourselves, and proud people can't be worked with by God and not willing to be surrendered to Him. I wonder how proud you are. I'm quite proud of not being proud.